I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on this episode, we're going to talk to a healthy lifestyle expert. And she also happens to be the founder of the Gorgeous and Gray movement.
Yeah, that's a movement that we're all inadvertently a part of now.
Full disclosure, we actually recorded this episode of the podcast before the worldwide coronavirus pandemic hit. But I think the principles of what she has to say hold true more now, more than ever.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
You may have heard about something called the Gorgeous Gray Movement. It was started in 2018 by our guest today on the podcast. She's a holistic nutritionist. She's a healthy lifestyle expert. Please welcome to the Quick and the Dirty Podcast, Nicole Scott.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Nicole. We have so many questions.
Go for it. I love questions. Yes.
Well, I know you have a book coming out, I guess at the end of next month, and it's called Get Naked with Your Natural Hair Color, and it's really all about going gray.
Yes.
Okay, why do you want to go gray so badly?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. I didn't really want to go. I resisted it for a very long time. I started going gray early. I got a wonderful gene from my mom and from her grandma and her mom. So the women went gray early. So I was fighting the gray battle since I was in my 30s. And I was one of those people that never thought I would ever just allow my gray to come in before the age of 50, but I did. Why? Because I actually had a health scare back in 2018. You mentioned I'm a holistic nutritionist. I teach people to read labels, make sure that you're eating clean, move your body, drink your water, you know, live this healthy, amazing lifestyle so that you can live a long, you know, vibrant life. And the reality was, I was almost being a little bit of a hypocrite, because then I would go every 3 weeks to the hair salon and put literally 35 chemicals on my hair, on my scalp. And I never paid attention to that until I actually had two lumps found in my breast. My naturopath at the time thought that they felt cancerous. So we ended up having to go through the whole, test. I got it confirmed with my medical doctor. They were concerned. And I was in a panic mode of if these were, you know, cancerous, you know, what the heck have I been doing to maybe create this environment in my body? So that's where it really got me paying attention to the things that I wasn't maybe fully being authentic in my healthy lifestyle, environment. So I waited about a week in the unknown, you know, were they cancer? Weren't they cancer? And they came back. They were not cancer, but they were definitely cysts. And I know for me as a woman and as a woman that's been in the field for, gosh, over 15 years, I know that that is a sign that your body is saying, hey, I'm not happy in this environment. You are not treating me to the level that I should be treated. And they were giving me the middle finger, as I like to say. And I paid attention and said, okay. And I started to really dig deep. And so in that moment of knowing that they weren't cancerous, but I knew I needed to do something and be a role model for myself first, I said the first thing was my hair dye. My hair dye has got 35 different chemicals in it, and I've been throwing that on my head for many, many years. And in hair dye, there is a number of endocrine disruptors that really screw up your hormone system. And as women, as we start to get into our 40s and start to, you know, hormonal shifts, one of the biggest things that I teach women is we have to really pay attention to those chemicals that start to disrupt our hormones. And I think one of the biggest ones that show up in women are our hair dye, and we don't pay attention. We avoid that question because of fear.
Of all the things that I would think would be messing with my balance, honestly, I would never suspect hair dye. I don't know why, but it's not really a conversation most women have. And, you know, even if you thought it did mess with your hormones, you'd still slap it on your head because so many women don't want to go gray. It's not,
right.
It is not something that is I don't know what the right word is, just
societally
embraced.
It's not thought of as being super sexy.
Not at all. So how are people reacting to your Gorgeous Gray movement?
Well, you know, I love the word sexy because that was the word that I came up as. The first thing is when we go, oh, that's not sexy. Oh, I don't know if I could feel sexy in the gray. But you know what's really cool is from a social media standpoint, there's been this new energy and a lot of other, you know, big role models out there that have been creating this movement and showing other women that, you know what, I can totally be sexy in my gray. Are you kidding me? Let's take off my clothes and I'll pose for you and I'll show you how sexy I am. And that's what I did. I decided to get naked actually on my book cover.
I saw it. Very lovely.
And go, doesn't matter what color my hair is, whether I'm a blonde or a gray, you look at that picture and go, she owns it. She is sexy. She loves herself. She is owning everything about aging. And that's the message that I wanted to give to women is, ladies, it's just a color. And I mean, in my book, I study the historical, you know, history of where, you know, this message started to show up that we actually had to cover our, you know, grays to fit in. And if you look at the commercials and, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s when the magazines started to come out, that's where the message hit us hard, which is like, you're not, your husband isn't going to love you if you dye your hair, you know, if you show your gray. Because back then in society, women were portrayed as put your heels on, put your lipstick on, wear your best dress, and look your best when your husband comes in. Because if you don't, he won't be around tomorrow. So that we had this fear as women, if we didn't show up to be our best sexy version every single day, we might get left behind. And so obviously that message has been changing over the years, but it's still so ingrained in society that if we don't show up to look a certain way, we might not be desired by other, you know, people, other men, society. And I believe it's changing, and I want to be part of that movement. I want to change how that perception is. And it's not easy, let me tell you, but I feel authentic. It feels right. And I'm having a lot of fun. I'm really having a lot of fun having these really authentic, heartfelt conversations with women about what gray represents to them.
It's so interesting because as a woman who's struggled with her body image her whole life, I have always felt pride in my hair. And Sandra can tell you I have like 8,000 hair appliances. And when we go on vacation, I do it up every single day and help other people do their hair. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it was like the one thing that I felt like I could control. And I don't know, like, why are women so attached to our hair?
Yeah, I think that you just nailed it. I think that it's one of the things that we can control and create immediate results to make us feel good in that temporary place. Like it's a Band-Aid solution, right? It's a Band-Aid solution to a deeper question, which is, can I love myself if I have to shave my hair because I have cancer? Can I still love myself if I go gray? And I really believe that, you know, healing has to happen for us women. You know, there's been generational patterns that have been passed down to us about we're not good enough if we don't look like this. And so hair is a big one. It's such a deep societal one that we've been so attached to. And you're not the only woman that, you know, gosh, deals with this. I would say most women do. It's our hair, and I believe it's because we can control it and instantly change it to make us feel good.
Yeah, and hair, good. Like,
and we want to feel good. We all want to feel good right now. We want to feel good. We're going to make us feel good right now. I'm going to go do up my hair. I mean, if you saw what my hair looked like right now, I washed my hair last night, and I went to bed. And I woke up and it was crazy and messy and the whole bit. And right now it's just in this like crazy fun. Thank goodness we're not on video, but I would totally be on video because that's who I am. Is that some days I have smoking hot hair and I'm like, "Ooh, girlfriend," and other days I'm like, "Oh, girl."
Well, I commend you because I won't let anyone see me unless I have a smoky eye. So good for you.
Right. I know.
I'm one of those.
I've been on that journey, and it's a big, deep spiritual journey that I've been on to get to a place where I can go out with no makeup and show off my pregnancy mask and be okay with my, you know, dark spots on my face and, you know, my lips undone. And it took me a long time to get to this place that I'm okay, makeup or not, gray hair or dark hair. But it's been a spiritual journey for me, a very deep spiritual journey where I've had to heal a lot of trauma.
You know, as Hillary was saying before, and I totally understand you when you say it's a spiritual journey, because you're either, it feels like a long walk to get to where you are compared to where I am and maybe where Hillary is as well. But I can't speak for you, Hillary. But I know that Hillary and I are the same in that we both really wrap up a lot of our identity in our hair. Like if I'm having a shitty hair day, I'm going to deal with that until it's good, and then I'll go outside. I have been with Hillary. She has done my hair when we've traveled together. It is such an important ritualistic thing as well for women. There's a ritual to doing your hair. You feel great. You put on your makeup. You leave the house. I don't know why it is such a ritual for women. It's a rite of passage in many ways.
It totally is. I have two teenage daughters right now, 17 and 18, and they both got long, gorgeous, beautiful hair, and they do their every morning ritual, and they'd rather not eat breakfast and get out the door because they have to spend enough time on their hair. So I get it. I'm witnessing it right in front of me.
So how do they feel about your going gray movement?
Well, I would say definitely in the beginning they resisted because I had probably the same kind of hair look as them. It was long, it was dark, it was black. And when it started to, you know, come through, they were like, oh, my gosh, Mom, it's going to age you. You're going to look like a grandma. And, of course, you know, I would get, you know, compliments of like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe your girls are so that you have these girls that are so old. Because obviously people were thinking that I was a lot younger than I was. And there's a little bit of like ego in that. Right. Oh, they think I'm younger than, you know, 48. And that makes me feel good. And I don't know why we are okay wanting to, you know, feel, I guess it's just normal. We want to feel younger than we look, right? We want to look younger than we look. It's always been kind of, I think, just pressed on us. But they have adjusted. I ended up getting a photo shoot recently, which was, and this was part of my, and when they actually for the first time saw me in, you know, my full gray and I had some makeup on and the whole bit, they were like, you know what, Mom? I'm actually really okay with your gray now. It's you. It's who you are. And so that was the first time that they kind of recognize that they were okay. And I write about this in the book, and I think what it is, and you guys can you know, connect to a story, but for me, I didn't have any real great role models in my life that were gray hair and looked healthy. It was like, you know, a debilitating grandparent that was, you know, old and aging and in a wheelchair and not healthy. So when I thought of gray and going gray, I was like, oh my gosh, like who are my role models? And thank gosh, there were some amazing role models on social media that I'm like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. So I think it's just a matter of time. I think their fear was like, oh my gosh, my mom's going to get old. And that means she's closer to her deathbed than not.
That's
nobody
fair.
Nobody wants to lose a parent, right? Nobody wants to lose a parent. And nobody wants to have signs around every day knowing that their parents are getting older. So I think that's what it represented to them. Because I know that's what it represented to me when my mom decided at about early 50s, you know, to go gray. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is, I'm not ready for this. There's this fear. And it's like, she's getting more, like I said, closer to the deathbed than not. And we don't want to have that conversation.
I have to say, looking at your pictures, your gray is gorgeous. And if my gray were to grow in like that, 100%, I would let it. But I have that ugly, like kind of sandy blonde, weird gray that is not really gray. Like, I think some people can pull it off because they have the right kind. And I don't think I'm that person.
Right. And a lot of women say that. And I go, you know what? That's okay. Here's the great thing about this movement. I'm not judging any woman. I don't want any woman to feel shame around my movement. It's all about awareness. And the great thing about what I write in my book is that if you're not ready to go gray, that's okay. But guess what? This is what I've discovered. There's some really great organic hair salons that have been popping up around the world that have been finding product in the marketplace that have taken out the nasties, that have taken out the carcinogen ingredients. So, for example, I live in the Toronto area, and in the Newmarket area, which is just north of Toronto, there's two organic hair salons that order products from the UK and Australia, that are using products that you can put on your head safely and feel good.
Doesn't that sort of, negate your gorgeous gray movement? If we can get organic products, why the hell would I go gray? Why would I at that point, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that my whole gorgeous gray movement, it's kind of like, if you're ready to go there, it's almost like when I work with a family, let's say, and I'm coaching them and I would prefer them to stop drinking alcohol. And they're like, but I'm not ready. And they have, let's say, a wine addiction. And they're like, okay, so maybe what I would do is I would move them from, let's say, their bottle of like white wine, which maybe is full of, you know, tons of toxins from the, you know, pesticides on the grapes, and move them towards an organic wine so that we're reducing the toxic load. Do you know what I mean? It's like working with people at where they're willing to get to. And maybe over time, that woman that's going every 3 weeks, even if it is to the organic salon, there will be that moment where you're like, I'm done. I'm done sitting in this chair. I'm done, you know, having to spend my money. I'm okay. We don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know when that like little inner voice is like, I'm done.
Right.
We don't know when that's going to show up. And for me, it happened to be a cancer scare. And I was like, I'm done. My breaths are more important than the potential or the possibility that these chemicals may have been contributing to my poor health. I'm done. So who knows when that will happen? Maybe it will never happen. I mean, my step grandma, who is in my book and I feature her, she wasn't ready till she was age 80.
Fair enough.
And that's okay. So it's just like, I'm just really, the message is, if you're ready, I'm here to support you.
Why do you think women put such a big emphasis on feeling younger or looking younger? Sandra and I were talking about this earlier, that the whole thing is not wanting to admit your actual age.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Nicole, I have to tell you, Hillary said that she has like the bad gray hair or the bad hair. I have dark brown black hair. So I have some gray coming in, and I'm not worried about, part of it is that I worry that I will be perceived as old, which will be the kiss of death for me, but that I perceive myself as old, which is not going to work for me remotely. And I honestly, and this is hard for me to admit, but I'm at that point in my life where I realize that I do want to be fuckable. I do want to feel attractive, because after 45, men didn't really look at me anymore because they're all looking at 25-year-olds. And I don't know why we put so much emphasis and importance on being sexually attractive to the opposite sex. But I like being sexually attractive to the opposite sex because I know that it ain't going to last forever.
Absolutely.
So I'm hanging on. That's a great question. I love it. So just think about it.
I went through a divorce about 5 years ago. So I was 45 and I went out to the world thinking exactly you. I want to be able to have sex and attract, you know, men. Gosh, I can't believe I was attracting such young men. Holy cow. Where did that come from? I hear they like cougars. But it was, I went right to town and I spent so much money. I did the Botox. I attempted lip filler, but that I passed out because of the pain. So that didn't happen. That was a really funny story. I walked around with a fat lip for about 3 weeks until the stuff wore off. That was a little embarrassing. You know, I did the waxing. I did the lasering. You know, I went to the hairdresser and I felt hot and I felt sexy and I felt like desired and I had a lot of success. And I get that. But like I said, something shifted in me where my health scare was enough for me to walk away from all of that. I was like, I was done. And so I did this cover naked as a symbolization to remind me that I can be sexy at age 49 and still be attractive. And it was an inner shift for me. It was just an inner shift. And I have been dating a guy for 3 years. He is salt and pepper. He looks great and sexy and all that stuff. And we've had these big conversations. And I always joke and say, you can leave anytime for a young gal. And he's, you know, we joke about it. But, you know, we're very connected soul to soul and that connection. So I think, honestly, it's just a timing thing. and a shift in mindset. You just, it's that mind shift work. Can, you know, here's the question. Can I still be sexy with gray hair? And I think any woman can. And if you get in my group, go ask to join me, Gorgeous Gray Movement. Just even be in the group to see these unbelievable hot smoking women that are over 40 and showcasing their beauty in gray. And I have some girl crushes. I'll be honest with you. I totally have some girl crushes on these hot smoking women. And I think it's the whole package. These are women that are taking care of themselves. These are the women that are, you know, working out and putting good food in their body and allowing the gray to come in. And when you look at them, you're like, they're the whole package. And that's sexy. Like, to me, that is freaking sexy.
Back to that shift that you talked about. Do you think that having a health scare maybe helps you appreciate age? Because you're then looking at age like a gift. The longer I'm here, the luckier I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're a parent, right? So in that moment of like, would I see my kids graduate? You know, would I see my kids have a child move out of the house, you know, set up? You just go, I would rather all of that happen than worry about all the drama on the outside. So absolutely. I think, and if you were to ask, and I have had some friends that have, close friends that have had cancer and they had to shave their hair. That journey is huge for them. They get to a point where like, oh my gosh, at the end of the day, I'm just so glad to be alive. I'm so glad that I have one more day. And whether I have hair or no hair, it makes no difference. I am the same human being. And they find their gratitude and their gratefulness and their sexy in their own version. But you have to change it. You end up changing your own version of what health and sexy looks like.
Yeah, I can't imagine having that kind of a health scare. That must have been terrifying. And obviously it puts every single thing in your life into perspective. But you know, you talk about how you date a guy who has salt and pepper hair. Why is it that guys with salt and pepper hair are distinguished and gorgeous? Like you think of George Clooney but the second we go gray, we freak out. Why are guys so goddamn lucky that way?
I write a whole section in my book about this because I had the same question and it really goes down to, you know, men were so valued in history. It didn't matter what color they were. Men were perceived as strong and breadwinners. And so if they were gray and still doing everything that they needed to do and being that warrior, it just looked like they were champions. They were amazing. And women were attracted to that, right? Women were attracted to that energy. And gray was just, you know, part of the package. For us as women, we were all about fertility. You know, they wanted to produce, and they wanted to produce with a healthy, young, vibrant woman that could give good, you know, eggs. And so that has still been passed generational to generational, is men who are providers, they want a young, vibrant woman that can give them the eggs if they're still wanting to have babies. Right?
Like just on an evolutionary level, maybe not on an actual mental decision-making level?
Totally, totally evolutionary. Yes. Yep. And it's still here. It's still here in that energy. Definitely. It's that we look at it. We look at the man, we look at the woman. And how often do we see, you know, a young woman with, you know, a 20 year old man? It's very rare that we see that. We always see the opposite, right?
Well, I think because wisdom and experience is valued for men, where wisdom and experience in women seemingly is less valued.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely would agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's changing. I really do think that the time is changing. And I think this movement that we're seeing, I think it's here to stay, to be honest with you. And, you know, every day I get new women, you know, joining the group and, you know, coming in and saying, I'm ready. And it's so nice to be part of this community. And if you know, if you're a woman and you're listening to this, and you Google and search different groups, I mean, there are, I don't know if there would be hundreds of groups, but there are a lot of online community groups now. And I think I'm in one group and there's over 20,000 women, in one of these groups, which is just incredible. So it's, and more and more are joining. They're just, it's almost like a big middle finger to the world. I'm dictating who I want to be, and my opinion matters and your opinion doesn't. That's the energy that I'm getting. I'm okay with me.
Can I got to ask you something else. We talk about going gray on your head. Can we talk about going gray on other parts of your body? Which to me,
let's talk about that.
So I recently started laser hair removal like last year, and the lady who was doing it said, "Do you want to do your vagine?"
You can say vagina on our podcast.
Can I say? So she asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said, "I don't know. Maybe I'll just like leave a landing strip or whatever." And she's like, "Let me tell you something, honey. It's going to go gray, and once it goes gray, there's nothing I can do about it. A laser can't take it off." And I'm like, take it off, take it all right now, today, get it off. And so like that's a thing. The idea of going gray down there, I can't even imagine it. So going the gorgeous gray movement means gray everywhere.
There's options, like you just said, is you can get it lasered off, and that's definitely an option if you're not comfortable. I talked to one friend who has been in the industry of like bartending and, you know, strip clubs and the whole bit. And she goes, "I remember the days when Bush was in."
Yeah. I think it's kind of back, actually.
Well, I just talked to my neighbor and she goes, "Nicole, Bush is actually back. So you have to be clear on that. Bush is back." I'm like, okay, Bush is back. I feel sorry for the women that have lasered because Bush isn't ever going to be back for them.
I know. I
believe they're called Merkins. It's like eyelash extensions for your vagina.
Oh my God.
Hillary, you are joking.
I am not. No, you can. But women like glue these little patches of fur and stuff on. It's weird.
Wow, interesting. I haven't tuned into that energy yet. That's interesting. But she said, my friend said they used to be in the backstage dyeing their bush before they went out on stage. They would literally put bleach on their bush before they would go out on stage so that, you know, the color would not show the gray. And I was like, oh my gosh, could you imagine bleaching your vagina? I couldn't even imagine.
That sounds like sweet hell. As someone who once dyed her hair gray, we were going to talk about that too. When I was younger, before it was physically possible for me to have gray, I would dye my hair gray because it was a trend. And then it became too realistic.
Yeah.
So then it was time for that to go. But I remember how much that would burn on the back of my head. It would just sting so much. I can't imagine that anywhere near my lady bits.
Right. So imagine being on stage and having to dance with a burning vagina. That just would not work for me.
From dye. Because
I want
it's
my vagina.
You know.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I was going to say I wanted my vagina to burn for other reasons.
The 20-year-olds want to be gray like me. So the women actually that are complimenting me when I go out to the world, I mean, I get lots of compliments now. The funny thing is I never really got a lot of compliments with my dark, long, black hair, which was healthy and beautiful. But now I get more compliments with my gray. So when I was just at a women's conference and every day there was a woman coming up, "Oh my gosh, I love your hair. I want to do that, but I'm too scared." Or the 20-year-old, "Oh my gosh, I want to do that. I think gray is so cool," right? So it's kind of interesting. I'm getting more attention with my gray than I actually did with my black hair.
I can imagine. So the Gorgeous Gray Movement can be found where? Is it all part of your website?
Yeah, so my brand on social media, on Instagram, and I'm going to say Facebook, is Own Your Sparkle. So you can find me there and follow me. I just, you know, share a lot of before and after pictures with other women that do that. And then if you need more specific online support, I actually have a Facebook group. It's private. It's only women are allowed. So we talk a lot about, we just actually had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. "Okay, women, I'm starting to go gray down below. What are you guys doing?" So that is that Gorgeous Gray Movement. It's a Facebook group, and you can just search it in group and then ask to join and just be part of a community. And there's lots of love. There's no judgment. We have a lot of women in there that aren't gray yet, but they're following along and they're enjoying the entertainment. They're enjoying the visuals, the conversation.
Thank you so much for coming on The Quick and the Dirty today and talking all things gray with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much, Nicole.
Okay, thank you.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.